God who bless you.
God bless you.
So love brings us together once more and enfolds us in his love. As the sheep return to the fold, watched over by the Master, so we once again return to this fold, watched over by the love of God. Now, Brother John.
Bless you.
Tell us why. What have you in your little book for Marcello?
We've got three items, Marcello, and it comes under the general title of The Love of God.
See. You wanted me to talk for you on the love of God. The love of God, Brother John, is an eternal love, is a universal love. It is a love which embraces not just mankind. It is a love which embraces all creatures upon this earth, and all creatures and particles of the universe. It is an ever-reaching love, a love immovable. It is a love which will never fail to respond to those who seek it within their hearts for the true and correct purpose to share this love one with another, as you do. You take your love, Brother John, and through all the tribulations of your work, still you will not turn your face from God, and you will accept into your life and into your work all those, whoever they may be, whatever they may be, and you give freely of this love, regardless of how it is returned to you. And this I speak of not only for you, Brother John, I speak for all of you concerned. There is times in your life when you will feel hurt and put aside and shunned and misused. But if the love of God is truly in your heart, then you will not condemn, because the condemnation doesn't come from love. It only follows the persecution and mistrust and unthinking. All of you have had this very facet of your being put to the test. Many are chosen, but few remain. And this, I feel, will answer many questions for you. Many are called to his service by his love and by the manifestation of the love of God through the Spirit of Christ within each and every man. And many are chosen from those who are called, and they have the freedom of their own choice. Can they withstand the tests which are put before them, which tear at their material thinking, tear at their subconscious thoughts and bends and sometimes even torments the spirit? But if the love of God remains within that spirit, then those who are of his thinking and of his choice will remain, for they are the ones who have been looked upon as being the just and not the unjust. The love of God is in all things, but is not an easily obtainable thing for a man to keep this in his heart and keep it pure within that love, because of the many trials and the strifes of this material world upon which you live, because of the material thinking and the involvements which become you in your life. Your love of God is surely tasted. How many times have I heard it said among you, you must taste the Spirit, but look upon it as Marcello says it, for I am in what you call in the Spirit. And if my Spirit is to be tasted, to make certain that I am a worthy Spirit to be received among you, then you must surely understand in your hearts that you also must be tasted of your Spirit, so that we also know that your Spirit is a worthy Spirit to receive those things we have to impart of God. And when your Spirit and my Spirit can blend in harmony and understanding as one, then you have, Brother John, a true manifestation of the love of God. Is this answer for your question?
Yes, beautiful, thank you.
Si.
It's not really a question, Marcello.
Bonomore.
The medium wants Marcello's definition of the rod and the staff, the phrase that's mentioned in the 23rd staff.
Sont onore of the rod and the staff. Is a question I will love to answer. We hear in your teachings, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you will see many of these prophets of old, they hold a staff. And the staff is a symbol. It's a symbol of unbending, of rigidity, of support, of sustenance, is a symbol of strength upon which a humble man can lean upon and support himself. And so it is, we come back to your first question. The rod and the staff, they are symbolic of the love of God. It is upon this upon which man depends for support, for strength, to do his work. And this is why it was said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Is as well to say, your love and your presence, they comfort me. Is a symbolic image of the strength of God, is unbending. It can be broken by those who will misuse it and who feel they have no use for this. But very often they find that without it, they are without the support they need. You are symbolized with the power of God when Moses struck the cliff with his staff and they poured forth the water from the mountain. When he cast his staff upon the ground and turned it into a serpent, symbolic of the presence of God in all things, even in the creatures of the earth. He used his staff to touch the waters and turn them into blood. Again, symbolic of God's presence. Is a beautiful symbol. Is a pictorial symbol, if you wish. But with all of these prophets, with all of those who use the staff for whatever they may do, they use the power and the love of God. They know that they have in their hands something of which they can command, they can support, they can use it to help, just as the shepherd will take his staff and rescue an injured sheep. Without his staff, he feels he cannot control his flock. And this is so. And so it is. Without this staff, without this symbol of the love and the strength and the impending power of God in our hands, how are we to command our flock? How is he to command or to guide and to protect his flock here on earth? You will hear it also in the Psalms, that thou art my rod, thou art my saviour, thou art my keeper. And this is also, again, witness to the fact that God is our rod and he is our staff. He is our strength. And he is our protection. In this, he is in all things, our support in life, knowing his love is in all people and all creatures and in all things. Is this an answer for your question, Brother John?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother. Last one. How would you convey the love of God to a person who does not believe in God?
Bene, bene. It is so simple, Brother John. It is so simple. I could answer this with two words. By example. And this is the only means by which a man has to portray the love of God to the eyes of a disbeliever. By example. But you see, example covers many, many things. And so it is for one to do this. He must himself be a true believer in God. He must be a true disciple of Christ. And I look upon each and every one of you as being disciples of Christ. You are his children. You follow his example. You teach his word. You obey his commandments as near as you possibly can. Knowing this in your heart, you can turn to the disbeliever, knowing that your faith cannot be daunted by his disbelief, or by his doubt, or even sometimes by his fear. For you see, you will find that there is perhaps no man here on earth who can he truly say he does not believe in God? He believes, but in his own strange way. And because it is a strange way, he finds it difficult to accept all those things which are spoken of him. He would be true to say, I cannot believe that he does all these things. I cannot believe that he is in each and every man. And while he is saying these things, he is proclaiming his belief, because his thoughts are dwelling upon this, and he is only saying to his brother man, in another way, I am still searching for this God. And if he did not believe in him, he would not search for him. So you see, you with the strength of your love and belief and faith in him would be foolish to try to prove the love of God and the presence of God verbally to any man. But you would be wise to prove by example. Is this not what Moses did? Is it not what Christ did? They proved by example. They proved that the love of God and that God himself did exist by showing the many miracles of God, by displaying the power of God, by allowing themselves to be used as the instruments and channels of this power and of this love. So I say to you, do not waste your energy on words, but conserve it and strengthen it by the example of your love for your fellow men. Prove to them by what you are, that he is in your heart. And slowly and gently and very surely they will come to accept Christ and God are one in man, and that there is a perfect unity in all beings. And fear, as we have it taught so often before, is man's greatest sin. Because, you see, through fear he allows himself to be blinded from the presence and the love of God. But still the love of God exists around him, caring for him, waiting for that day when he comes close enough, even perhaps at the moment of his transcendence into these planes, he will know the love of God. And perhaps it may be said that your example showed to them will help them understand this in those last moments of their being. So be his servant. Continue always to be his channel. Do not waste your energy too much with words, but strengthen your resolve by the example you set of God's love on earth. And just as Christ did, just as his disciples did, they believed. They believed. As the prophet said to the blind man at the gate of the beautiful, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in his name. And he received his sight. This was proof by example. And it was not just the one who received his sight who found it strange to believe, but it was the many who stood and watched. And it is the many who stand and watch and listen to your example, Brother John, who will come to believe, maybe not in your way, but in their own way, according to their understanding and awareness. They will receive the love of God, and they will believe, even if it is in secret. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Does this make you happy now?
Yes.
Then, so you see, once again, you have found yourself what you thought was three different questions. All of them have become into one, the love of God in all things.
Yes.
Is it not simple?
Yes.
Now, do you wish to talk with Marcello?
Well, I was going to ask you to talk tonight on the Holy Spirit.
Bello vavate. In a word, Brother John, the love of God is the Holy Spirit within all men. And he was the love of Christ. He was the essence of Christ. And he was the purification of Christ's spirit. And why do I say this? Why do I talk of his purifying his spirit? I talk of this in truth. At the moment of his baptism, he was touched by the waters of the earth, and he was blessed by mortal man. He was acclaimed by John the Baptist, and this made him a mortal man. But Christ was still a chosen one, and to make this evident in the hearts of men, as he was baptized, God descended in the form of a dove, so we are told. And a voice from heaven said, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this was a confirmation from God that he was a chosen instrument of heaven to bless this earth and to show by example the love of God to a whole world full of heathens and disbelievers. From there he went into the wilderness for a prolonged period, where he had to live as a man. He had to fend for himself as a man. He had to receive of him temptation and deprivation. He had to become as the earth. And having done this, as I have said, once again, before he could begin his work, his spirit was to be purified and cleansed. And this was done when he cleansed himself of all the temptations of the earth by proclaiming his love for God. And it was here that the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of holiness, should I say, entered into him, and he came down from the mountain, and he said to his mom, Now I must go about my father's business. The rest of this is a long-told story, one you know so well. He went about his father's business, and he taught the spirit of love, and he implanted into the hearts of all men who would receive of him the spirit of God, touched by his own spirit, fulfilled in the hearts of men, not only by the words he spoke, but by the example of his life, the example of his faith and belief in God, his immovable faith, his undying trust, and his eternal devotion to the cause of God's here on earth. And this is the true spirit of God and the true spirit of love made manifest in men. It is the answer for your question, Brother John.
Yes, thank you, Marcelo. After the baptism, when John the Baptist had baptized him in Jordan, he says to the crowd, John says to the crowd, "Behold the Lamb of God." What did he mean?
Behold the Lamb. In the Lamb, Brother John, you see one who is so gentle and so delicate and very often is so trusting. It is a symbolic creature of gentleness, of love, who will readily follow his shepherd because he trusts in his shepherd. He knows the voice of his shepherd. He knows the movements. He can even understand the walk of the shepherd. And he trusts and believes without a question, without saying a word. It is a gentle creature. And it does feed mankind. And God was saying this, that Christ is as a lamb among men. He loved, he trusted, he knew men, he knew God, he knew that God was his shepherd. He knew that if he followed him, he would be fed, he would be protected, he would be clothed. He would be kept from harm and away from danger. And this is why Christ so often used this expression of the Good Shepherd. Is why he used this in his teachings. And he told the story of the Good Shepherd. He was telling the story of God because he knew that God saw him and each and every one of his children as a lamb in a fold. And if you recall, I spoke with you the last time, saying to you how he had to converse with the men according to their understanding at that time. And so he had to make a simple picture for them to follow and for them to understand and to learn from. And so he used the analogy of the lamb and the shepherd. And he used this again when he spoke with Peter and asked him three times to feed his flock. And he's a lamb, and he's a sheep. He was using this same analogy. And Christ was saying to Peter, the same as God had said to John the Baptist, "You are my sheep. You are a lamb of God. You are my flock. And I am the good shepherd." And God is the shepherd of all mankind, and of indeed all living creatures upon this earth. And he will bring them into his fold, one by one, according to their need and according to their progression. Is this to make you happy, Brother John?
Yes.
The time, I know, is creeping on. And soon it must come to a close. But I wonder, very quickly, to say to you, do not be despondent. Do not allow your intent to be cast aside. As we have said, many are called, few are chosen, and many are chosen, if you wish, but few will survive the path. And you have come with contrite hearts. And I know that this concept of working together is maybe a little difficult, because I am not asking you all the questions. But you see, you have a task to fulfill, and we feel it is much more convenient for you to fulfill this task so much easier if we channel this energy properly and in good haste, so that is understood more clearly and accepted more readily, not so much by you who are gathered here. For I will come on other occasions, and I will talk with you many, many times, till your heart is content. But you see, those who will read these words, however you may print, cannot do this. They cannot share with you these moments, for they are in scattered parts of this land and on this earth. And so it is, we must make a tiny little forfeit, just a tiny one, in order to take these words, born of the hearts of each and every one of you, from the questions you ask among yourselves. You are asking these things on behalf of a nation, on behalf of the earth. So it is. Forfeit this one little moment in your time with myself. And I will praise and bless each one of you. And I will fulfill your pathways to the best of my ability. And many, many times, I will come and talk with you, as I did in old times. And we will share many happy moments together, if you will allow these words and the teachings of Christ to be made manifest among men through your endeavors here in this little room. You understand what I'm saying to you? Please, do not be sad of heart, for I do and still love each and every one of you more than I did before, because I know you are making a sacrifice. You are giving up something you love, so that others may receive. And this is in truth the Spirit and the love of God manifesting itself within your hearts. And this is why you remain. This is why you are who you are. And this is why you will progress. And we will feel privileged always to be present and to touch your heart and your hand and to journey with you through life as best we can. Is this to make you all happy now? Feel that. Is this to make an explanation of why we are doing it? Okay. Hey, Christopher, I have not forgotten you, and I love you very much, and we know you are tired, and we know you have worked so hard. I will place my hand on your heart in your sleep state. You will be revived, fear not. But sometimes we have to hold a little harder just to prevent you from going too far and hurting yourself. You see, Christopher, I also am a shepherd by virtue of the work I do. You understand this?
Yes,
so it is now. I will leave you to converse among yourselves. Think of what I have said to you, to be filled with the love of God, to hold his staff in your hand, to know that he is your rod and your comforter, and to know that the Spirit of love is in each and every one of you. Is surely inspiration enough to continue as you have begun. I will, as I promised, Brother John, I will leave you with a question. Is a simple question. I will not test you too much. And perhaps those of your loved ones, for Christopher and Jacqueline and Maria, can they help you? Brother Jonathan, when next you stand in your temple of love, and when you feel the stillness around you, what is this stillness? I will leave you to answer gently. You may think to yourself, this is a simple question. It has many depths. I will leave it with you. Pero santo parare, se sei conosco. Pero e bravi gasti si manu, is smiling. He also is happy at this, that you have been asked this question. What is this stillness I feel in my heart? Well, you're happy now. Yes. Was it not so hard, was it?
Well, you can go on.
Bill. So now I will take my leave of you. And I will pray that you will remain here in his service. And keep of good cheer and a good heart, I will come again and talk among you with great joy. It is to make you happy now. God bless you. God bless you, my children. May the love of Christ rest in your hearts and be among you always. May his love enlighten your being and still troubled waters. I would remind you, when you question among yourselves, why so few, I will say to you, not a tiny sparrow falls from the heavens without God knows of it. And he knows of the suffering of all things, and he knows of the cause of all things, and he understands all things. As it is ordained, so it shall be, and his love goes forward with all of his children, and he will bless their understanding and cause divinity in their course. Bring to me your crucifix. O Father, these tears I shed in thy name. I shed them for the cause of mankind. I shed them for the cause of these thy children. I shed them in the remembrance of him. I take these tears, O Father. I bless. And I wash away with these thy tears, O Lord, all things of the earth from this thy symbol of love. We praise thee, O Father, for the sacrifice of this thy Son, and pray for his continual presence in the heart and soul of all men. May we receive of him, O Lord, a true trust and love that he showed in his Father, that he gave to us as an eternal blessing, that thy love and thy name shall remain manifest upon this earth. That through this love man shall progress and become as he was. Receive, O Father, our prayer of blessing. And receive our eternal love and undying service, that thy cause may be made known and manifest here upon this earth. And I pray, O Lord, that this symbol of his suffering and love and sacrifice, which was ordained of thee, shall remain as a symbol of love and suffering and sacrifice to all those who look upon it and receive it and contain it in their presence. And may this symbolize the love, O Father, that all such effigies shall show into the hearts of men wherever they may be. When they enter into the temples of thy love and into thy churches, may they look upon this symbol, O Father, and know that thou art within them, that they may receive of thee and know of thee, through the name of thy Son, and through the love of Christ our Saviour. Amen. In thy name, O Lord, we bless this, that it may be received of thee, loved and trusted, cherished and ordained. Take it, my Son. Brother John,
bless you, dear brother.
I would ask, in order to further the work of these thy children, you will take your holy book. After I have returned to my place of origin, and you will read to them chapter 15, complete from the book of Corinthians. And I would ask, Brother John, in joy and of light heart, that you will remember this chapter and all it says in seeking the answer to my brother Marcelo's question. I only seek to help you. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, in whom we trust, who art our deliverer and shield, look down upon us, O Father. Enter into our hearts. Make manifest within us thy love, that we may receive the spirit and inspiration of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that his work and his love and his word shall be made known to man according to his understanding, that he may find it within his heart to receive of him once again in a new light and a new beginning, and that we of thine administering angels, both here and many other places upon this land and upon this earth, who strive to fulfill this task according to thy will, shall serve thee well, O Lord. In thy name, O Father, and according to thy will, we bless the head of each and every one of these thy children, and we appraise their heart and their stalwart belief and faith. Enter into them, O Lord, be their guide and counsel, be their strength, be their understanding. Enter into their lives, O Lord, that they may grow in thee, that the love of thy Son and our Saviour Jesus Christ, our holy brother, shall remain and rest and dwell within them for this day forward and even forevermore. May the love of God and the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest and dwell and remain within you May he ever be your rod and your salvation. In the name of the one God, in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God bless you, my child.
Augustus.
Why is that?
Just before you go, would you briefly describe what you look like to me?
I have very little hair, my son.
That was shaven, wasn't it?
According to my faith.
Yeah. I thought that.
I wear the holy robe of white linen. I wear the holy robe around my life as a symbol of the rope which held his Son upon the cross. I wear the holy sandal upon which I walk across his universal plain. I wear the holy mantle around my shoulder to define that I am of the White Brotherhood and that I lead them in prayer from time to time. This, my son, is scarlet. Is this to your understanding, my son? I wear also the symbol of Christ's love for man, which we have just blessed for you. I carry the scrolls of universal love and teaching, and I hold them for eternity. For this is an eternal lesson that I must share with such as you. God bless you, my son.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, Father of all love, we have heard reflections of that divine love shining into our midst of this night in this little upper room. Father, we thank thee. We ask your blessing upon those emissaries of light and peace and love and healing and comfort. We thank you for them, Father. And we know that they will go to their respective places, again taking up that mission of service to earth. Thus are your laws enacted among us, your children, and may we take up the simple tools of your love, of your gifts, of your peace, and of your healing to those who are by the wayside. We thank you for all things in life, for every creature. May we have that hallowed love for the lowliest of your handiwork. We thank you for all things, but above all we thank you for one another. May we shine and show forth the Christ in each one of us. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this night and always. Amen.
This is the passage of Scripture requested of us by Brother Augustus Emmanuel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That will be of Paul. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me, if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, it's quite a fantastic chapter, that is, really.
It includes many sayings that I thought came from many later centuries.
Yes, I think there's a bit that's sandwiched in.
It seems to answer some of the questions that you were asked.
In the other week, yeah. On the resurrection,
the image
so.
Of God.
Yes.
By him making man in God's image.
That's right.
Is that the Old Testament or New Testament?
New.
New Testament.
Yeah.
And Gustav wanted that read, did he?
Yes.
Perhaps it wanted to answer all your questions in one.
The Sat John question, you see.
Marcella did, yeah. What is this stillness within me?
Around you.
That when you go into your temple of worship, what is this stillness that you feel within you?